Grace to you and peace from God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Where do you hang your hat? Another way of saying, where's home for you? And it's tempting to just rattle off addresses because 331 Nelson Way has been home for me longer than even the home that I grew up in. I've lived there longer than any other place in my life, so that's an easy place to mention. But is that really home? Let's phrase it a different way. Where do you hang your heart? That is, where do you find the meaning and substance and depth of life? That which you celebrate, that which helps you persevere, that which gets you through the worst of times, what is the unshakable ground on which you stand? I ask that question because I think that's at the heart of what Luther and the other reformers were after at the Reformation. Because everyone has places that they hang their hats, you know. It can be your family, it can be your home, it can be your nation, it can be your political party, it can be a number of things that we kind of put our hats on. But is that really our home? Is that really what defines us and by which we act on? Yes, it's a factor and all those things are good to have, but where do we hang our hearts? This is something Luther struggled to communicate, I think, with people. His challenge to live by grace and the lessons we read today, Luther picked up on and spoke about. But people would wander back again. Even those of our part of the Reformation would wander back to old habits, you know. The church is my home. My family is my home. My country is my home. Whatever it was. And Luther would continually challenge them to think differently. That if we put our focus where really our hearts are, where our core is, where our values grow out of, then that will shade and change everything we think about everything else. And for Luther, that was undoubtedly Jesus Christ. To him, that was where Christ, having hung himself, literally, for the sake of us in his heart, we now find our rest and being and purpose and endurance only in Jesus Christ. Other things may be important at times in our lives and other things we may value. But that's the heart of it all. Now, Luther was a pretty smart guy in some ways. He had his moments. And one of the things he was good at was music. Now, some of you know I was talking beforehand about earworms, those little tunes that get buzzing around in your head. So Luther figured out the best way to teach people was to come up with a hymn that encapsulated what he wanted to say about where our hearts lie. And it was the hymn we sang at the beginning. That's why I wanted us to sing it at the beginning of the service. I wanted that little tune kind of na-na-na, na-na-na, kind of bouncing around in your heads. But I also want you to think about the words of that hymn. And if it's helpful, you're welcome to open it up in the book and look at it now or later. But there are three major things that I think Luther was trying to say that help us understand where our hearts and our beings are found. The first is that God is very active. Have you noticed that in A Mighty Fortress? God is not a spectator. God is not a witness. God is not something we reference in the past alone or something we look to in the future alone, but is also something very present and real for Luther. That's what the song reminds us of. And that's true in Scripture. If you read back through Scripture over and over again, it is God who acts. It is Jesus who acts. It is the Spirit that acts in the lessons that they read to us. And that wasn't true just for back then, but for now. That part of what makes this event we call Life of Faith special is that we walk our lives of faith with God. Not just toward God, or not just with God having come behind us, but with God. Because God has chosen to use the biblical language, pitched his tent, set his being, set his focus on us, his creation, his life. And so therefore, God is not just something about the past, and God is not just something about the future. If God is real, God is about now. God walks with you and I now, as much as he walked in Palestine 2,000 years ago, or as much as we proclaim in faith that he will come to walk with us again. He is present with us now. And that means that we didn't make him come here. We didn't earn the right for Jesus to be here. We didn't act so well that God decided to come here. He comes here as we are because his love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his grace, all those things we talk about all year long, are more powerful than anything else in the universe. And so God comes to us. We don't find God. God finds us. You know, we've been talking about that the last few weeks. It's really about the fact that we can relax and enjoy the fact that God's love for us is not predicated on whether we pass the test, do the work right, get through this week, whether the Nationals win or lose, or anything else that we want to throw up there. It's predicated. It's dependent on God's love and mercy. And Luther says we can count on that. We can see it in the past. We can hope for it in the future. We can also live and trust in it now. But Luther wanted to be realistic. Luther didn't want us to have his Pollyanna view, you know, that if we just believe, everything will be fine in life and we'll be happy and wealthy and there. No. That is never promised in Scripture. The promise in Scripture is that God goes with us. Remember Emmanuel, that phrase will come up again at Christmas? God with us. That the events of our lives don't dictate God's love and mercy. God doesn't decide, well, you're having a good day today, I think I'll hang around. Now you're having a lousy day, I'll come back later. No, God's mercy and His grace and His forgiveness are constant with us. But we live in a troubled world. Luther wants to be clear about that. Some people don't like that because Luther talks about these devils roaming the land and evil and losing spouse, honor, gifts, child. I mean, he's very realistic about the fact that life does not promise us a bowl of cherries, as the old expression went, but promises a presence and a hope and an everlasting love. Luther knew this. If you read the life of Luther, you'll know it was all well. I mean, first of all, he challenges the church, and he's under a threat of death and imprisonment. His family is threatened. Everything he knows is threatened. He loses several of his children, and they're years of age. In fact, it got so bad when his daughter Magdalena, died, that he locked himself in his room, basically, for like months. Catherine put himself away for years. He was so harsh. So finally, she got mad one day, broke open the door, threw a Bible in, and said, if you do keep proclaiming this, why don't you live it? And the Bible teaches us that God is with us. Not that God spares us from some of the things that happen in life. We all know life is real. Evil is real. Bad things do happen, whether you're good or bad in life. But the promise is that we're not abandoned. That God's grace and mercy is with us, and God has the final word. God is who we cling to. And the third song, this song reminds us, as we kind of hum through that little earworm as it gets through us, is that God's mercy and grace changes everything. That if we just can get ourselves focused back on God and away from ourselves, we find God's presence all around us. Luther once wrote that he believed in the resurrection, not for the empty tomb, but for the Christ-filled world. And if you know the world that Luther lived in, it was pretty messed up. There was warfare between East and West, sounding kind of familiar. There was conflict in the church. There was turmoil with new ideas being fermented throughout the known world of Europe. And yet Luther would see God's presence in hope and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So too you and I have that. And that's where our hearts are hung. Our hearts are hung on the one that hung for us, if you want to put it that way. The one whose mercy and love and grace was so great that nothing, not even death, would keep him away from us. So, I don't know to say where you're hanging your hat. We have many places we all hang our hats. But let us be clear where we hang our hearts. God's mercy and grace and love, and that will never fail us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.